Jesus turns that around in today's message from John 8, 39 and 41 to 51. The question about his own heritage is turned around to say, but what about yours? Do you understand where you come from? Do you know what your source is? Do you know that you are dealing with a master of deception and confusion? Do you know? Do you know? Well, so many of us don't, and that is a problem. So many of us think we're sure why we're acting, what we're doing. In fact, we're pretty sure that we're independent beings, right? Acting in an independent way, acting for our independent purposes, acting for what we want out of life, and then we discover that, guess what? It's not us that's doing the leading on what we choose. Jesus says, if you're not following God, basically, you're following the devil. And that's where we are in this message today. Ignorance creates confusion. Now, that's a good statement no matter where you are, no matter what you're talking about. Ignorance of what's going on, ignorance of how God acts, ignorance of how you're making your choices, ignorance of the situation you're in, ignorance of what the purposes of others are, all of this creates confusion. And Jesus spoke to these Jews that were around him. Jesus had challenged them, you know, you're doing the things of your father. And they answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. That's chapter 8, 39. But then verse 41, you are doing the works your father did. Okay, they said to him, we weren't born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Now, you can see that there's a confusion going on. These Jews who were around Jesus, they claimed Abraham is their father. They claimed this. They claimed their heritage from Abraham. And so because their heritage was from Abraham, obviously they're followers of Yahweh God, right? Well, of course, after all, my daddy was a preacher. My granddaddy, you know, they go through all of this. I come from the Levites. I come from the Benjamites. I come from the line of David, whatever we might want to say. But claiming your heritage does not mean that you're claiming your behavior. And the problem was their behavior showed a different father at work in them. I don't know if you've ever been in a classroom where you've begun by teaching kids. And you meet the kids, you have them all around you, you talk to them, you teach them and everything else, and then it's parents' night. And usually within about a minute or two, a teacher can discover which parent belongs to which kid, even if they never said so. Why? As kids, we tend to echo our parents. And Jesus had this going on with them as well. Their behavior showed there was a different father at work. And so what they decided to do is insult Jesus' parentage. They insulted Jesus' parentage by kind of the backstory, saying, we weren't born out of sexual immorality. I've heard about your mom. You know, there's this background story that goes on in the Jews of Jerusalem that have tried to figure out who Jesus of Nazareth is and trying to figure out why he can claim God as father. And then they hear the story about Mary, who just happened to be a little early with her birth compared to her marriage. We weren't born out of sexual immorality, not like you. But then they claimed God their father. So they claimed Abraham their father, and then they claimed God their father, and both of these things are going against their behaviors. Well, the insult of Jesus does not hold water because, and it doesn't gain any ground because Jesus isn't going to allow it to. But here's the problem. As he's been speaking to them during these all of these words in the 7th and 8th chapter, as he's been speaking to them, they have really never got it. They have not heard. They have not understood. They haven't let anything soak in. They're still stuck on the same attacks against Jesus, the same behaviors in order to try to protect themselves. And the reason they can't hear it is because when we bow down to the devil, he keeps us numb to the truth. He doesn't want us to be ready to hear it. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word." And that's the numbness we get. You don't know your Father. You don't even know who you're serving. If you knew God, then you would love me because obviously I come from my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you watch the works I do, you know the Father. All of these actions of Jesus is about showing the world who God was. And every time they balked, they pushed away. They said, "Wait a minute, this is not the way we had it planned. This is not what we were expecting. You're not the Messiah we want. Let's find another Messiah. You can find another good Messiah. Go ahead and send him in, right?" But no, Jesus indeed is the Son of God. Jesus indeed is the one who came on his accord. Jesus is the one who knows that if someone is really focused on God, then they would know him, they would love him, and they would understand his mission. But then he says, "You can't understand me because I'm not telling you easy things. I'm not lining up with all the simple things that you had in your plans. I'm not lining up with all the health and wealth that some like to tell you is going to happen when the Messiah shows up, right? I'm not lining up with the political overthrow. I'm not lining up with gaining power to beat up on your enemies. I'm not lining up with any of that because I came to a sinful world because every person in this sinful world needs a Savior. But you can't understand me because those are hard words for you to hear. You don't want to hear that God has anything to do with the Gentiles. You don't want to hear that God's plans are different than your plans. You don't want to hear that the fulfillment of Scripture that is present in Jesus comes from God's heart. It doesn't come from some right or left interpretation, but it comes directly from God. But the devil keeps us numb. Believe me, he does not want us to know what Jesus is about. And that's really because the devil's eternal nature is against God. His nature from the very beginning is against God. Jesus has to let loose on him with this. In John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and a father of lies." Now, those are important things that we need to understand about the enemy of our soul. If we understand these things that Jesus is saying about the enemy of our souls, we will discover that we want to switch allegiance. We don't want to stay where we were. The devil's eternal nature is kind of like, I just throw it in this way. These guys are saying, "Abraham's our father. Oh, we're not illegitimate. God's our only father." You're confused for one thing, because let me tell you about your real dad. The one that you're following, the one that you're trying to copy, has always been a murderer. He can't stand the truth. He doesn't even recognize truth when he hears it. And he is the first and greatest liar. And because of that, he knows how to birth those lies in you. That's the nature of the enemy of our souls. He's a murderer. He wants to kill our souls. He doesn't want God to have us with him forever. He doesn't want that. He'll do whatever he can to murder us. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were created in perfection and they were given all of those good things in the garden, and God just said, that tree over there, that's mine. You just leave that alone. Everything else is yours. And the devil came in, this father of lies, and says, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Well, the proper answer to that is God is so generous. He gave us everything except that one. Isn't that marvelous? But Satan says, oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you. He really doesn't want you to eat from that tree because you're going to be just like him. The lies start to come out. Because they had already been told. By the way, Adam was right there with Eve. Eve wasn't deceived on her own because she took a bite from the apple and handed it to him. Didn't go find him. And Adam had been told that you may not touch that tree that is mine. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to understand by experience what sin is. But in order to give you free will, I have to have the tree there. Because you need to choose. You need to choose God or the enemy. Well, the enemy just kept hissing out his murderous lies. And he was a murderer because as soon as he got them to sin, death entered the world. From the very beginning, a murderer. From the very beginning, not willing to stand with truth, the truth that God is the creator of all. God was before anything is. When God gives his name, I am, he simply is saying, nobody named me. I don't need to name myself. I am. I am. There's no beginning. There is no end. There's simply always I am. But the devil didn't understand that. The devil thought he could war against God and win. We lost the first battle in the heavens, and so now he's trying to take over on the earth, and that's not really working out either. But he's trying. But this one, always a murderer who can't stand the truth, the first and greatest liar, wants to be our master because he wants to birth in us lies that go against God. He wants our own hearts to echo the lies that his own minions have believed. He wants our hearts to connect to that same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Hey, you don't need any God to tell you what to do. You're created as an intelligent, independent being. So you just go ahead and behave the way you want to. I'll show you how. Oh, we miss that part, don't we? When the devil says, here, I'll show you how. We miss that part. We miss the part that he is so well practiced at that it just flows out of him. And if we begin to copy that, we end up on the wrong side of God's laws. This is the devil's eternal nature. We have to understand that so we know that when we hear those things that come against God, that comes from the enemy of our souls. When we hear those things that say, don't believe the truth that Jesus has for you, we can know that comes from the enemy of our souls. When we understand that life is presented to us as something we can take charge of, that's a murderous idea. It comes from the enemy of our souls. Now, when we're following the devil, we like the Jewish people of Jesus' times, have trouble testing the truth. We have trouble knowing what is true. We can be in the midst of the worst situation. We can be stuck in our sin and our shame and our poverty and our hurt and our independence and all of these other things, and we can't even understand when truth comes that is truth. We have trouble with that because Satan tries to make us numb to that truth. Jesus says, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. And the reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God. He speaks plainly to them. He doesn't want them to miss it, but they still don't get it. They don't get it from beginning to end. They don't get it even as Jesus is speaking. They don't understand that they are acting according to the designs of the devil. But Jesus tells them the truth, and the devil's kids don't recognize it. They've laid charges against him. They've insulted him. They've questioned his parentage. They've questioned his authority. They've questioned his beginning. They question his end. The devil's kids don't recognize the truth. And Jesus says, is there anybody here that can prove me a sinner? Anybody here that can prove me wrong? Oh, I hear you saying the words. I know what words you're saying. I know that you can get a crowd to throw rocks at me. I know all of that. But can you actually prove that I am wrong? And he goes on here to say, if God is really your Father, if God is really your Father, you would hear me out. But your perspective is bad. Your perspective is bad. You only see truth from your own idea of where it comes from. You only see truth from your own interpretation. You only see truth through what the words of the world are telling you instead of what the words of God are telling you. Your perspective is bad if you think that you are designed to be a being separated from the one who made you. You are not created with free will so that you can run away. You're created with free will so that the blessing of coming to God on your own can be fulfilled and you can experience his love. If God is really your Father, you'd be anxious to hear me out, but your perspective is just wrong. Well, lies don't last in the midst of truth. Lies are limp when the truth is told. Jesus goes on in 8:48 to 51, he goes on to say, or the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Well, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Well, the lies pour out, but the truth still holds up. Trapped by the truth, the insults fly once again. Isn't it true you're a Samaritan? After all, those Samaritan people, they listened to you. That city got saved when you went up there. You talked to those Samaritan women. You must be one of them, or they never would have listened to you. And if you're a Samaritan, then certainly you're one of their sorcerers. You're one of those people that are on the wrong side. You must be possessed by a demon, because only one possessed by a demon would walk around saying he's the Son of God. Well, guess what? That is not the truth. Jesus simply says, I don't have a demon. I have a loving Father. I'm not a Samaritan. I'm from heaven, actually, the one who sent me. And Jesus says, I didn't come for my own glory. I came to give glory to God. It's up to him to give his glory back to me. And in fact, as he says this, he says, I'm not seeking my own glory, but there is one who seeks it. God the Father seeks the glory of Christ the Son. But here, this is the second time, well, actually it goes all the way back to chapter 7, verse 37. They keep challenging Jesus about where he came from, what he's about, challenging him. And Jesus keeps responding with the same direct answer to them. He says, you are still ready to kill me. You have no room for my word. You're trapped by truth. So now the insults come. They called him, they said, well, we're not born of immorality. After all, we know who we are. Do you even know who you are? You must be a Samaritan. You must be possessed. As they give these insults, Jesus simply counters back with the truth. I have no demon. I have no demon. Instead, I have a God. I have a Father who is God in heaven. I am here to honor him. Everything I do, no matter what it costs me, I will do for God. And that's the story of his life, really. Everything I do, no matter what it costs me, is all for the glory of God. It's his glory I seek and not my own. I don't care if anybody slaps me on the back. That's up to God. I want to do his will. See, here's the thing. The devil will always bring lies. He will always bring lies because that's his nature. That's who he is, a murderer and father of lies. And if we don't understand that our hearts are bent away from God, then we become confused about who is guiding us. And that's the truth of so many of us. Even when we've once said yes to Christ and we haven't yet allowed him to be Lord of our lives, to lead us and guide us, we're confused in our behaviors. We're confused about where we're making our choices. We're confused about whether we're going to the right or the left. We're confused about all of these things because we think we're independent. But the Bible says if we're not following God, we're following Satan. So the one who's guiding us is not who we think it is if we're not leaned toward God. Because learning and knowing and remembering everything about what our enemy is like, he is a murderer, he is a liar, he is the father of lies. You have to know that about Jesus. It keeps getting said today because we have to know that, know that about Satan. Know that about Satan because it is the truth now and forever. It's the truth about who is trying to push us along. We have to know that our enemy is against us. He's against our souls. He wants to terrify us and he wants to tear us up. But here's the good news. Because Jesus finishes this with the good news. Jesus brings us life because if we have a heart for God, his words ring true, we recognize God's Son. And there's where the good stuff happens. Jesus says, if anyone follows my word, they will not test death. If we lean first toward God, then we find out more about the truth of Jesus. We recognize his sons. We believe Jesus. We hear God's word. We honor our heavenly Father. Why? Because we honor his Son. We honor Jesus, which makes God pretty happy. He has exalted him to the highest place. Jesus came in humility so that God might, and God exalted him when he fulfilled his purpose. When we keep Jesus' word, we find life, and his word is always life and hope and peace to us. His word is this: you need to do what God has called you to do. Love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. Live this love out in the world and you will be fulfilling all the law and the prophets. And death is not your purpose, but life is your purpose. Just as it is with God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. His words are life. The will of the Father is to believe the one he sent. Well, we have to understand our enemy so we know what to push aside. And understand that if we're trying to act independently of God, we're simply becoming like Satan. Instead, we must act according to the love and purpose and power of God our Father. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you have loved us so. Thank you, God our Father, that you have created us and made us and designed us in order to know you, in order to understand your creative magnificence, the love that you have, the purposes that you have. Thank you that your Son Jesus has come into our world and has shown us more of who you are, our Father. And thank you that as we celebrate Jesus, God, you are honored. We want to honor you. Celebrating Jesus in our life, loving him through our obedience, and glorifying you, God, so that you might glorify Jesus, that all the world would know your grace. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.